You are recording.
Okay, we are back in session. We are still on section number two. We're now down to number five, 2320, in regards to Brian Sesnick, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Case 2320, the complainant is Sam Karuna. The respondent is Brian Sesnick, DVM. On June 17th, 2022, Happy, a five-year-old male, Happy Omix, was presented to Oasis Animal Hospital due to blood in the mouth and a rash near the prepuce. Petechiation was noted along the gums, cranial thorax, and prepuce. Diagnostics were consistent with IMHA, ITP, and emergency referral was recommended. Prednisone, doxycycline, and azithromycin. Diaprim were dispensed. Later that day, the dog was presented to First Pet Veterinary Center for a second opinion. Diagnostics were consistent with ITP, and inpatient care was recommended. Complainant declined and elected to monitor the dog at home. On June 20th and June 23rd, the dog was presented to First Pet Veterinary Centers for a recheck. On June 23rd, 2022, the dog was presented to respondent for evaluation. Due to the dog's poor prognosis, respondent recommended hospitalization with a specialist consult. Complainant approved a blood transfusion and overnight monitoring only. The next morning, the dog was discharged against medical advice. Respondent recommended increasing the prednisone to the high end of the listed immunosuppressive dosage. The next day, respondent filled prescriptions of Carafate and Serenia for complainant's request. On June 25th, 2022, the dog was humanely euthanized due to his declining condition. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. And last night, or yesterday afternoon, the complainant had submitted a statement, and that is in your packets on the cloud and also on the information received after the certain date on the main agenda.
Bless you.
Thank you. We have no complainant. We have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring only.
Okay, got it. And Dr. James, this one is yours.
Yeah, so, you know, this was obviously a case that wasn't responding at all to, well, wasn't responding the way we were hoping it would respond to the medications prescribed. And I don't find with this condition that that's overly uncommon. I think that we have cases just like this that despite what you do, they just don't respond. And so in looking through it, I mean, there were quite a few different doctors involved. I didn't see anything that jumped out at me as, oh my gosh, this was below the standard of care. Then I read the information that was submitted late yesterday and just did a little research or a little thinking, and not even real research, on the dosing and recalculated the dose. And it definitely is on the high end, although precautions were taken to prevent side effects from that, but it was definitely on the higher end of what I would say would be something I would be used to doing. So I don't know if anyone has any comments specific to that piece of it, or if that changed anything for anyone else that was reading through the materials.
Yeah, if you look at Plums, they go up to 3 mg/kg, and I've had specialists go higher than that and recommend going higher than that. It was already, it wasn't like, well, we're just raising the pred and not doing anything. They were doing azathioprine. They were doing everything they could. This is just not responding. And I think the complainant has a misunderstanding of the process of how steroids affect the GI tract. And I don't think anyone knows for sure why it causes ulceration, but it does in minimum. They're trying to save this dog's life, and they're doing everything they can. So I didn't have a problem with the 4 mg/kg.
Yeah, I would agree, because I mean I did the same kind of research and looking for, and when I looked at a couple of drugs resources, they said the same thing with the immunosuppressive dose. And also looking at these types of cases, the dog already had bleeding in the GI tract prior to that. Like, they were trying to stop the process. You know, and the presence of melanoma and bleeding the GI, it's a poor prognostic indicator for once you start beginning of treatment. So I think the end result was going to be the same. This was the Hail Mary to hope that they could get a hold of it.
And sometimes you can't even respond to very high dose steroids. I mean, at Michigan State, we were training for high dose steroids. We hit this one hard whenever we saw this disease. Right. And I mean, I tend to have pretty good luck on treating it, but I hit them hard from the beginning. I don't kind of start low and go up. So I would start high anyway, possibly. Other drugs too, but yeah. So this is one of those diseases where your body's attacking your blood. It's kind of important. I mean, that blood is needed to survive. So things go wrong very quickly, and it's not a fault of medication. It's just one of those unfortunate situations.
Well, and the dog had progressed even on the prednisone, like it got worse. So it was asymptomatic. It wasn't having issues with the anemia when it was first seen. It was placed on the prednisone and then got even worse with the anemia and needed a blood transfusion while on the prednisone. So like it wasn't responding at the lower dose.
I don't know that it would have responded at any dose, but I think the issue for the owner was just the higher dose, and I don't necessarily know that that would have changed.
Which is completely understandable based on reading stuff after the fact.
Sure.
I mean, he's not trained in medicine, the owner's not trained in medicine, so.
Sure.
So it's good that we're talking about it so they can hear this if they do come back.
Yeah. Well, and the big factor in the outcome would be how soon you started treating it, right? I mean, how far along had this progressed before the animal finally saw a veterinarian and said, here's what we need to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your chances of correcting it with a lower dose or a higher dose earlier are a whole lot higher than,
days
down the road.
These can definitely be spontaneous, though. Like, there may not have been any indication to the owner whatsoever that this was going on until, boom, all of a sudden,
it's in
your face.
I've diagnosed it on physical exam for vaccines before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're a little pale.
This is weird right here.
It's a horrible disease.
So I'll make a motion in the case of 2320 that we find no violations of our practice actor rules.
Second.
Motion and a second to dismiss case 2320. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. 2321, in regards to Matthew Reed, DVM, Tracy Summary.
Case 2321, the defendant is Sharon Goldstein, the respondent is Matthew Reed, DVM. On November 17th, 2022, Sammy, a 7-year-old, and the medical record states 12 years old, male cool mix was presented to respondent for anorexia, lethargy, vomiting, and PUP. The dog had been administered 4 units of Novalgine and insulin prior to presentation. After evaluation, respondent expressed his concern for diabetic ketoacidosis and recommended hospitalizing the dog for diagnostic and supportive care for the delay. At the end of the day, the dog was discharged with mild improvement. Respondent recommended giving the dog a full dose of insulin if he ate and only half if he did not. The instructions were the same for the following morning. The following day, the dog was presented to respondent for a recheck. The dog had not received any insulin that morning or the evening before, as directed. Respondent advised that the dog was suffering from DKA, pancreatitis, and heart disease. Referral to a 24-hour facility was recommended. Due to complainant's financial constraints, respondent also offered humane euthanasia. Complainant declined. The dog was hospitalized until complainant can figure out how she wanted to proceed. Later that day, complainant called to advise respondent that a rescue in San Diego had offered to take over the dog's care. The dog was discharged that afternoon. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-1, with Ms. Ratajak opposed.
Okay, thank you. No complainant. We have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring only.
Okay, and just monitoring. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Boy. This one was definitely interesting. And can see both sides of this in this case. So the doctor who received this case did express the concern and wanted the pet to go to an emergency type facility. the owner declined to be able to do that, and so the doctor was kind of in a hard spot as far as what services that they were able to provide for that pet. Looking over all the medical history, he provided some supportive care, I guess. It's hard without having the insulin to properly treat the animal, but again, unless you have the insulin that's required or you are comfortable treating a DKA patient, you might not want to get involved in that. And so I don't necessarily see that there was a pure violation. I see some opportunities for communication. There were some notes that were not complete, but there were some questions as to whether or not the veterinarian should have tried to obtain the insulin to normalize. And I would want to know, is that doctor comfortable doing that? We can't mandate that a doctor is comfortable handling every type of case, and that's a very involved case. So if you yourself as a clinician are not comfortable, we are supposed to refer. That doctor did refer, said, you need to go someplace else. This is not something that we can treat. And so it was the owner that declined that referral. And so I don't see that as being wrong on the doctor's side. And I'm open for discussion on that, but
I agree with you. The standard is to refer when it's going to elevate the level of care. But if someone doesn't want to take that referral, that doesn't mean I'm all of a sudden now an internal medicine specialist.
Right.
It's like, all right, I'm going to do what I can do. And
right.
It's not going to exalve them or absolve them from all responsibility for the case, but it changes the legalities in my mind at that point. Once I say, you need to refer this out, and if they don't want to do that, I'm going to try my best. But what's the other option? Kick them out the door?
Right.
Then I'm going to appear in front of the board for that too. So I mean, there's some leeway when it comes to those cases, in my opinion, because it is hard. You can't have everybody as an expert in everything.
And you don't even have supplies in your hospital.
Yeah.
So now you're going to send somebody to a pharmacy to go get the proper
mm-hmm.
insulin, the short-acting insulin. And I know for me, I personally have only handled a couple of these cases. It stressed me out to no end. I was there with the book and then and everything else. But I also know that going into different clinics, not every technician that you have, like, I would also base my treatment on my comfort level on what support staff I have. So if you don't have the support staff that can offer that up, like, offering to refer, that is key. And so, yeah, I think that he was kind of in a rock and a hard place on that.
And I think we always use referral as in referring to a referral center, but referring may just be to another clinic that does this, that
right.
has the supplies, that may not be a boarded internal medicine person, but it may be somebody that works at a clinic that sees a lot of these cases and feels comfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean the costs are gonna be higher, it's gonna go to a specialist.
But what's the impetus on figuring out which hospital can do that? I mean, it's easy to send them to an emergency and say they're gonna have everything they need.
Well, I think that as a veterinarian, you send them to emergency or
yeah.
refer.
But
the
yeah.
owner can
the owner,
choose
yeah.
to go to a different clinic that
yeah.
does more of this. That's on them. That's not
yeah.
on me to do.
It's an unfortunate situation, but yeah, we've got to start realizing doctors are not doctors in everything. When a client, especially when a client's like, well, I don't want to spend $6,000 over at that hospital, so I'm just going to have you do it over here.
Yeah. Well, and
I can't do $6,000 worth of care here.
And the client was already non-compliant,
yeah.
if you will, right? Wasn't giving the treatment at home as was recommended the night before, did not bring the insulin in the following day. Now, we both know that probably wouldn't have gotten
yeah.
the dog where it needed to be, but it just showed that there was, you know, some issues on that end as well. So I would recommend dismissing with no violation, but I do have a little concern with some of the, there were some issues with the notes, like the soap wasn't complete. So like day one, the pet came in, did a thorough exam, had all the notes in the soap. The next day came in for repeated visit, but the soap was not, like, all the findings in the first soap weren't necessarily there in the second soap that should have been seen on physical exam. So just minor issues there.
Maybe letter of concern issues?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with everything that's been said. The problem I had is once this pet obviously isn't going to go somewhere else, then was the communication proper with the owner going, we got a problem here that this pet's not getting insulin. Was that communicated properly? I mean, in terms of go home and get the insulin, I understand that part, but should it have been communicated that this pet needs regular insulin now? And I'm not sure that was communicated. And in listening to the audio, I feel like more of an effort should have been made to secure the proper care for this dog. And then we had, well, we got a heart murmur, so I'm going to adjust my fluids accordingly, and which really didn't treat the dehydration. If you look at those numbers, there wasn't fluid administered to treat that dehydration. Yeah, you're cognizant of the fact that it has a murmur, you're going to be listening for pulmonary edema, but we weren't even correcting dehydration. So I do have some problems with communication with the respondent not emphasizing what this patient needed.
Yeah, but I mean, but there was also communication, like, we need to do this, or we can talk about euthanasia. Like, I mean, there was, this is serious, and so we either need to treat, or we need to consider euthanizing the pet,
Did the owner understand what was going on? Was the communication proper?
Right.
And I felt totally the way you did until I listened to the audio, and then I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And so for my letter of concern, I had improved records keeping, complete, like the complete SOAP, and then communication. Because I feel that even if you look back at the medical record, there was scant on communication in the records until there was a phone call from the owner later on, and then there was more information put in there. So there's definitely some areas of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So okay. That would be my recommendation, is to dismiss with no violation and to send a letter of concern around improving records keeping and communication.
And record keeping specific to making sure that each time the pet is in a full exam and documentation is complete.
Yes.
I just wanted to be clear in the letter
what
the issue was.
Yes, so complete SOAP and communication, and client communication needs.
Yeah.
Okay. A motion and a second to send a letter of concern. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. 2323. Courtney L's DVM. Tracy, give me a summary.
2323, the defendant is Lana Lynch. The respondent is Courtney L's DVM. On September 19th, 2022, Henry, a 10-year-old male toy poodle, was presented to respondent to have his ears checked. Treatment recommendations were made and complainant agreed. Complainant was not provided an estimate for the recommended services and expressed concerns with the fees at checkout. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board find ARS 3220-3218 as it relates to R311502C. Before providing a veterinary medical service, a veterinarian shall assure that the animal owner is provided an estimate of the cost for veterinary services. And the motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, and I am the lead on this one now. This is one of those, we don't have the complainant nor the veterinarian here to ask the question to, and it would appear that Dr. Ells did not confirm or deny that she didn't offer, the estimate verbally or in writing. On the flip side, it did seem like somewhat of an expensive visit for, ear cleaning and medication. On the flip side, I would say, did the owner expect that they weren't going to have any sort of bill? They could have also asked what, the cost would be. But anyhow, ultimately, I guess, because the vet is not here and they did not state that they had, in fact, and it's not in the medical record, Is that a violation, or is it a letter of concern, is my question to you all. I mean, I understand, and the only reason I say is it a letter of concern is because, again, it was ear cleaning and ear treatment. It wasn't, but if it is, it is, so I'm not disputing.
I think to be a letter of concern, you'd have to say that it was a minor medical record issue, that she didn't record that it happened.
We have to assume.
But that it did not happen, because it isn't anywhere,
right.
And nobody shows up
right.
at the investigating
right.
committee or here,
right.
Then there is no verbal, there's nothing in the notes.
Right.
There's no written copy of what in the notes, so it didn't happen, it's a violation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I agree, that's, it's a violation.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why it's in there.
Yeah.
That's why we do, to avoid this.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Okay, so with that then, I would make a motion to find Dr. Ells in violation of ARS 3222-3218 as it relates to R311-502C. Before providing a veterinary medical service, the veterinarian shall ensure that the animal owner is provided an estimate of the cost for the veterinary medical service.
Second.
Okay, so a motion and a second to find a violation.
Roll.
Oh, roll call, thank you.
Ms. Gregor?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, so now I, let's see, so I can accept the investigative committee's findings of facts as the board's finding of fact and facts and the investigative committee's conclusions of law as the board's conclusions of law.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Roll call again.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Is there any previous history?
No.
Okay. So in a case like this, what would you guys recommend as far as, is there really a CE that kind of specifically?
Not really.
What would address that?
I know.
Think of anything.
Follow the rules.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, this was unfortunately one of those things that probably could have been just overlooked at one time and just ended up in front of us. It's like, do you really need to correct anything, or was it just one of those perfect storms where we just forgot to say the price, which is a problem.
Yes.
But how do you correct that?
Right.
Don't do it again.
Correct it.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it could go back to what is the process of this clinic? Because usually if a veterinarian would forget to mention, they treat ear infections all the time and they kind of forget, oh, yeah. Wow. Usually a technician's going to be like, hey, let me get the estimate.
Exactly what happens in the practice on that.
Yeah.
I forget all the time and I don't say, or I look at them and go, they don't care. And the technicians, whoop, gotta have an estimate.
Yeah, I feel like this could be something that's more of how are you operating, and maybe that's.
Could we have her as a, what was it? I don't say punishment. No, I don't say punishment, that's a horrible thing. But how are you making sure this doesn't happen again and have them submit?
Kind of like we did in that other case.
Saying, what are you doing to make sure this doesn't happen again? And that, well, calling that enough?
Yeah, have them submit the policy for the clinic on providing estimates and ensuring, and how are they ensuring that this is being completed?
Yeah.
What are their protocols to comply with R311?
Yeah, because money is not going to help. And
but is that
the
responsible
help?
Vet or doctor?
Makes more sense.
Else, and are they the same person?
She's the one that have new people.
Well, this doctor, I think, is responsible for providing the estimate. If she doesn't agree with the clinic policy, then that's the responsible vet.
Okay.
But I don't know that that's the case here. We haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, so
does that sound okay then?
Sure. Yeah, can that sound fine to make it memorable?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a memo outlining.
Yeah, or, you know, like Mr. Lohe suggested, provide a copy of their, you know, internal policy or procedures with respect
something
to complying with this particular rule.
Yeah. So that affects. Okay, and so then.
Just do that within a time frame.
So providing that within
30 days.
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah, that's an easy thing to do.
Okay.
Not to find money or anything.
And then, let's see.
And the payment. I'll let you pick the number.
I thought we were going to do.
Why not?
Well, they didn't have any previous.
Oh.
Yeah, this is just one of those things. We just forgot to tell them it was $295. That sucks, but it's not the end of the world.
I just wanted to make them remember it.
Oh. $1 fine.
Okay, and then, let's see, if not signed within, is it 60?
30
days.
30, yeah.
This
is one they should be able to complete next month.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty easy.
Then,
by Friday.
To an informal.
Right. Yeah, I'd get this done same day.
Yeah, exactly.
At 6 o'clock, it's done.
Okay, so that's my consent. Does anybody want to second it?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. There's no further discussion. Roll call, Amelius.
Well, I guess we have to count. Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosler?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Rigg?
Aye.
Okay, so next time, show up. Might have been a different outcome, but all right. Now we are on 2324, Deborah Bonke, DVM. Tracy, can I read summary?
Case 2324, the complainant is Amy Rosales, and the respondent is Deborah Bonke, DVM. On December 7th, 2021, Rita, a 10-year-old female Australian Shepherd, was presented to respondent for a mass on the abdomen. Complainant reported that the dog had been having urinary tract infection issues since being spayed in February. The following day, the dog was dropped off for diagnostics, including a fine needle aspirate of the mass, ear analysis with culture and sensitivity, and abdominal radiographs. The dog was discharged later that day with an antibiotic. The cytology results were non-diagnostic, and it was discovered that the urine culture and sensitivity had not been submitted. Respondent offered to perform another fine needle aspirate. Complainant declined, but agreed to have radiograph performed that would focus on the abdominal mass. On December 15, 2021, a radiograph was performed and nothing of concern was noted. Complainant requested copies of the dog's diagnostics and was upset with the pathologist's comments regarding the reason the samples collected were non-diagnostic. On December 27, 2022, the dog was presented to pet doctor to have a mass removed on the left inguinal mammary chain. There was a concern for mammary carcinoma. Complainant declined histopathology at that time. McQuaidy concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no complainant, no respondent, but Mr. Stoll is here.
Monetary moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Yes, thank you. So, again, going through this, it's kind of the whole. You have to look what the client will let you do and what can you do, and you have to come to the meeting of the minds with that. But I'm not seeing actual violations of anything when I'm going through here. Anything I'm maybe concerned about, there's just things that just were constraints on there. So I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
Motion and a second to dismiss with no violation. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, last one is number 13, 2375, regards to Eliana Alvarez Calderon, DVM. Summary.
Case 2375, the complaint is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Respondent is Eliana Alvarez Calderon, DVM. On January 18th, 2023, the board noted that an investigation with respect to respondent's conduct after a premises inspection was conducted at DCA Northwest Animal Hospital, Needham Road. It was determined that respondent had at least over 100 medical records dating back to 2019 or later. In this case, did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought back to you for your evaluation.
Perfect. Yep, we have no respondent here, and Mr. Lohe, you are the lead.
All right, let's give me another quick one. Like I said, that's a lot of cases, a lot of catch up, and a lot of it is just going to be a guesstimate to close it out.
Sure.
Because you're not going to remember what you did in 2019. Yeah. So I am going to.
How do you do that? How do you do that exactly?
What?
Like, if you think about going back and writing records from a year ago, you're not going to remember anything. Yeah. So how do you even do
you'd
it?
You'd be amazed how many doctors I've worked with in the past that actually remember cases from like 30 years ago. Just
but
like
you're,
the crazy.
I mean, there might be
something about it,
yeah,
right? Like a special case, not like the 10th round chihuahua.
No, I know, but
right.
I mean, it's amazing what doctors do remember, especially looking at invoices and that kind of stuff, and be like, okay, here. I mean, yeah, it's not ideal.
For 100 cases?
You'd be surprised. I worked
I
at a zoo.
So.
You'd be amazed how many crazy things happen there, and people just remember stuff. I mean,
I
it's.
Can't. But crazy things you remember. This is like routine cases, and I'm sitting there going, I think that we're going to kind of encourage this veterinarian to write these charts and have them be made up, in which case now you're into a different violation.
Right. Yeah.
Rather than just saying, I didn't write the record, I'm closing it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easy.
I can barely remember cases from last month when I look at the names.
Well, sometimes when I'm sitting down at night to write the record, I can't remember what I saw earlier that morning. Like, heart rate, how do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Let's see, so it's a good thing you're not the one we're talking about.
Right. That's why I don't wait all this.
But in this case, I'm going to propose we find our findings of fact as the findings of fact in this case, 2375, and find a violation of ARS 3222-3221 as it relates to R311-5018 and R311-502L, failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided.
Sorry, what was the reference once again? I just wanted to see.
The rules?
Yes, thank you.
5018 and 502L, which is more of a...
Oh, okay, I was looking for L. I'm like, wait, that's under 5. Yeah. I just misheard
it. It's more of, not that that wasn't done, but that can't possibly be done, right? Because if somebody asked you for the records, you could not get it to them within 10 days. You don't have it.
Yeah.
You haven't finished it. And what was the L?
Can we do... The thing about
all and all the things aren't there because you haven't filled it out.
I just want to make sure because, like I said, usually you're at least going to have the name, address, telephone number. I mean, should we do like L and specific numbers in there or just blanket L because if we find a case where they have the name?
Well, if they haven't finished it, it doesn't matter which one they haven't finished.
I just want to make sure
they haven't finished any of that. They haven't finished it.
Is this more like you're in violation of professionally acceptable procedures because you didn't do your freaking medical records and I can't go back and find every medical case and everything, every violation you missed.
Yeah.
You have a failure to document
yes.
what's going on in these cases. And to me, that's a bigger issue than just a medical records violation. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's more of an ethical violation to me. But.
So would you like to add that? I don't want to take this one away. I don't mind adding that.
I agree. It's an ethical issue, and we have a statute to cover that.
Mm-hmm. Would you add
which
that?
Which is
in addition to what, or do it separate? So right?
Which one? No, which statute is that?
Well,
all
right. As it relates to 3222-3212.
12.
That's the ethics, right? Yeah.
Violation of the ethical depression is as described as defined by rules of the board.
Yeah.
And that fits with those same two same two rules, right?
I think it
would. Because
I think it could go 12 or 18.
Yeah. So I am going to amend my conclusion of law, right, that it happened and the violation, to add 3222-3212, also referencing the same rules, R311-5018 and R311-502L.
Is there a second?
Don't jump up and down the second.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Let's do roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Can we ask about priors?
No priors.
No priors. Okay. So instead of a fine, I'm going to offer a CA. If not signed within 30 days, goes to an informal. 2 years of probation with progress reports every 60 days until the backlog is cleared. And a final report stating all protocols and habit changes in place to prevent a repeat violation. and the probation may be lifted, may be requested to be lifted earlier upon completion.
So is it fair to say that if she goes back and says, I don't know anything about this case, she can document that?
What progress are we monitoring, correcting the 100 plus?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
We can't fix what she can't fix in that.
Right.
If it's something, we can't fix that.
Right.
But we can stop her from making it to.
Yes, but what progress?
But the wording in there, it says that once she completes that, so all she has to say is, I can't complete these. Is she completed with that?
No. Completed the consent agreement.
Yeah, but the consent agreement was to clear the backlog.
Yes.
So she just goes to the backlog and says, I can't complete these.
The consent agreement isn't clearing the backlog. It's, part of it's clearing the backlog. Part of it's reporting as you clear it.
She can at least go back to the invoices and make some kind of, and she should have.
That was what I made a comment.
Because there's some, look at the invoice and see what was done and put that in a record.
Because there's some things, I mean, if you did report the heart rate, you can't go back and estimate that.
Right.
There's things. There's some things you do with every procedure. You do pretty much the same thing every time. So if you see that I billed this, oh, it was this kind of animal, it weighed this much, so if I gave it this drug, this is how much I gave it.
I
understand,
but
it gets hard too.
I think you're going to be encouraging people to put stuff down that they think this is what I might have done.
No, I'm not.
But I don't really know if that's what I did.
Go to the invoice and see what was done. There was a vaccination exam. I gave a vaccine was given, and it was my case there. My number's on there, so
I don't know. Because how many times have stuff been charted, or I don't know. There's stuff that ends up on your invoice that may or may not have been given, just by miscommunication between the front and back. And so then are you falsifying a medical record at that point? To your point earlier.
I feel like you are falsifying.
Yeah.
I think anything that happened in the last 30 days, maybe go back and write. Because those should be current enough that you can at least get something down. Anything beyond that, I think you need to go in and you need to write, I did not write the medical record, and sign off on it.
Well, and 2019 could be outside of jurisdiction.
On each one. Failure to document the medical record in the medical notes.
But a case can be brought up in 4 years. So you only have to hold
three. You have to hold the records for three.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't disagree. If there was some sort of diagnostic, right? Do you have blood work? Do you have a radiograph? Right. You could interpret those and put those in your record, but I would hesitate to go back to the invoice and just make assumptions that, are you willing to say for sure I gave that rabies vaccine? If you gave it, it says that you gave it in 2019, without having other documentation.
I get your point, but what about the diagnostics?
But if you can find those, right?
Well,
you still have
hope.
Right, those should be in your medical record. You just haven't made
and they
it
need to be in there.
Interpretation.
She needs to go back and put those in there.
Right.
And at least say, I didn't do it, and I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
I didn't write the record.
Yeah, through the pain of fixing this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's part of your penalty. Yeah.
This is what you need to do, right?
So can
we add this in?
It sounded like the initial argument was that
what can be specifically documented, document, and what cannot be, there needs to be a note. These medical records were not recorded properly, and the date and signature.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we have a list of them that we know so that we can compare them against no progress, or are we just saying, hey, submit some here and there so we can see what you're doing?
We know those are over 100.
Yeah.
Start with the oldest, and we add in here too, start with the oldest and go to the newest.
I would start with the newest because...
Well, look, 30 days, right?
30 days.
I mean, within reason, what you can get, but then, and like you said, the 4 years, the ones that are 4 years old, just make her do them just because.
I don't even, I don't know. One, I don't know how she's going to know which one she hasn't written. So let's just start with that. We have no end goal in mind.
That's not our problem to figure out.
We're not going to know if she's compliant because she could say, I did them
that's
all.
A guess.
We don't
know. She's got to show us.
Okay. It's just a lot.
But how is she going to show us the one she didn't write? Only going to show us the one she goes back and does.
Well, we know there's got to be at least 100 of them.
How do we know that?
Because
the inspection.
That's
on the inspection report, but how did they get to that?
Is at least 100 a whole pile of them? I mean, 100 is a pretty round number to pick. So that's
I
see a crap
stops
ton
counting
of them.
After 100.
There was a lot.
I did. Yeah, there was a lot.
I did. Yeah.
So, you guys are really getting down the weeds here.
Yeah.
No, I'm not getting into the weeds. I just know how medical records work and how is this actually going to happen and is it useful?
It's not going to happen. Yeah. And it's not going to get at what we want to do. I think she needs to go back and write the ones that happened in the last 30 days. She needs to correct her process going forward so that this doesn't happen again. And she needs to take a class on ethics or medical records or both, because you're clearly just ignoring the fact. You cannot tell me as a veterinarian you didn't know that you were supposed to be keeping medical records.
I would add to that the certification on the ones that are older, that these were incomplete medical records and the date she reviewed it and signs it, so that she takes responsibility for it.
So the next inspection, there was a pile that was sitting there that was incomplete.
So that's where
she has paper charts.
Per the findings of facts, there was determined that there were over 100 incomplete medical records.
So that's what was in the stack. But what if there was like 300 in there? So that they don't pop up again
in the next inspection, that statement needs to be on any incomplete medical record that's older than 30 days.
Okay, I can see how you can do that for the stack. You know that they weren't completed, that was found in the investigation. Pull that stack. Hopefully they still have it in a stack.
So could I explain? So there wasn't like, these aren't paper records.
Right.
It was just on their software. Yeah. I happened to ask the question, can you tell me how many records for this person haven't been done? I don't know why, it just occurred to me. And she's like, oh yeah.
So I just happened to, and so you pulled the report.
And it was just like pages and pages and pages long. So I just like literally counted. I'm like, oh, so there's this many on a page. So that's when I literally stopped counting.
Wow.
So they have a way to search if a record's not closed.
Not done yet. There you go. See?
From not closed easy. Or not written.
I'm going to throw another.
Right, because those are two different things.
Because if what she pulled was these cases aren't closed, like the doctor didn't sign off on it and say complete, they could still have medical records written.
Right. That wasn't the, I mean, the hospital manager was even saying, no, she doesn't do her records.
So is there a responsibility of the medical director, the responsible veterinarian here? I can relay on my own personal experience. I had a associate, same thing, over 100. It was 114, actually, because I knew. And on a percentage, she was not allowed to see any more patients until she sat down and completed her records. They didn't go back that far in time, but that's the way I handled that, because I felt as the responsible veterinarian, as the medical director, that was my responsibility to see that those records, because it wasn't just her. What about the next vet that gets a record and goes,
right,
there's nothing here.
Yeah.
What do I do?
There's still gonna be nothing there.
Right?
All right, I tried to make it very simple.
I see all the arguments, but I think we're gonna be doing a lot of legwork for no real benefit. Mm-hmm. Now, not us,
we're gonna tell her to do it.
No, us.
How are they going to do it?
Our staff's going to be doing it, because they're going to be reviewing all this stuff and looking at it, won't they?
So what is she going to do?
All they
got to
do is say, okay, they did this, they did it. And then they tell us they did it.
Yeah,
or they tell they didn't turn it in, they didn't do it.
But the computer system that says that she's completed it, then the staff doesn't have to go back and physically review those 100 plus records. It's literally just, hey, hospital manager, can you give me the report of the unfinished medical records?
It's so easy.
Why do you have to make it hard?
Because I guarantee you it'll come back and they'll be like, we can't do this, and we'll be sitting here going,
why do you have to make it hard? We already know
that there was some way that they looked up what hadn't been completed. I still don't really know what that means exactly. I don't know if that means there was a complete lack of a medical record or if there was something there or nothing there. I don't know how she's gonna actually write these ethically.
It's not our problem, it's her. It is our problem
because we're asking her to do something that I don't really feel like
she
there's
can
any
complete
way
it
she
with
do.
She can complete it with a statement that I can't complete this,
right,
because I didn't write it down. in real time.
Well, can't she just do that on all 100 and just be like, I can't do this, and what's the 2 years of probation? That was my original thing. It's just saying, I can't complete these. I'm done with my probation for 2 years.
No, no, ask. She can ask for early enough.
But when she sends a report saying, I can't complete any of these, I mean, we don't keep going back there, we just leave it open.
Okay, if she sends us a report like that, then it's $1,000.
You can't go back and do that. You have to do
that
now.
No, we'll add it now. We'll suspend that $1,000 fine unless she doesn't complete the... But if she doesn't complete it...
I think we need...
Within the probation period, she pays a $1,000 fine.
Okay. Do we need to insert a caution that the records must be accurate and not falsified? Because that would be... I don't want us to be encouraging her to falsify.
Well, that's why we tell her, if you can't verify this, if this is not confirmed and verified, then there's a note that because these records were not timely kept, they cannot be confirmed and verified and are incomplete.
Great.
But
I like
that.
It. Okay.
Victoria,
but
Mark,
it complete
are
closed.
Good with the suspending the fine? Is that...
Yeah, we can step in.
But can I just ask, so the probation would be over if she shows that she completed those items? Should she not stay on probation because...
Okay, let's leave her on it then. I'll amend my to take the early release probation off.
Yeah, because I would say because then this behavior is likely to continue.
Right.
Yeah. So then, you know, so...
This is where a practice monitor would come in handy.
Yeah.
Why don't we just do that? Just move on and have a practice monitor for the next 2 years.
Or you can open a case, send a letter of concern to the responsible veterinarian. But I would think after the premise report, they already kind of know.
Well, that's the whole argument, is I think they understand where the problem is. It's just, what do you do from here forward? But what can we do in the past? We can't really fix the past. What we can do from here forward?
I don't know if we can do a practice monitor unless we're going to find the violation against the premise holder. Because if it was my practice, I wouldn't want somebody coming in and monitoring my practice when...
Well, I shouldn't say practice monitor, but a supervisor for that vet, you can still have that without a premise license or anything. Yeah. Because we're just looking at those records from that doctor on premise. So yeah, I guess
you're trying to complicate this way beyond what I had.
I think that's actually easier.
You want to just make
to have someone check records a few times
here.
A month from here on out.
I've made my motion and amended. Okay, so my motion as amended would be a violation of ARS 3222.32.12, which is violation of the ethics of the profession as defined by rules adopted by the board as related to R311-501-8 and R311-502-L, and also a violation of ARS 3222-32-21, failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided.
Now,
2 years probation.
Yeah.
Hang on. Offer CA. 2 years probation, progress reports every 60 days, termination, take out the early lift. When the backlog is cleared, final report stating all the protocols and habit changes in place to prevent a repeat violation. If not completed within the probation period, $1,000 fine.
What's in this?
So we're giving her 2 years.
And make it 1 year.
Yeah. Just go to 1 year.
Make it 30
1 year?
Days.
Okay. 1 year.
She can't go to
all
sure she can. She's not going to write anything at home. She's going to say, I can't remember. I can do it in an hour.
She'll take much time. I don't know. You're still making your motion, right? You're not discussion yet.
Yeah, I'm not discussion.
Okay.
1 year. Okay. Amended to 1 year. 1 year probation. Progress reports every 60 days, which will be that report that the staff ran. How many are still uncompleted?